Displaying their usual tact and charm, Berlin cops have been beating people up at demos, making up rules as they go along about what languages you can speak, and then following people around while they go for pints. Nessa Finnegan of Berlin's Irish Bloc joins Megan and Conrad to talk about the diplomatic incident their conversation circle caused at the pro-Palestinian camp, Sláinte.
In Berlin's heart, where news is unveiled, Megan and Conrad with German tales. The German news, it's tough to bear, but with MegaCans, they're ready to help. Conrad, daily news at hand. Megan feels to spare time to crack those cans. With each sip she takes, the Meg is her shield, but
another episode of Megan's MegaCan. I'm Megan. I'm here in Berlin with Conrad Werner. Hello, Conrad.
Hello.
And we have a guest today. Lovely Nessa Finnegan is here. Hi, Nessa.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Very excited.
I'm very excited to have you here. We have asked Nessa to come on. Nessa is an artist. She's from Ireland, as you can probably hear. She lives in Berlin. She's also a friend of mine, but that's not really what I mean. Primarily, we're going to talk about what's happening in what's called the Irish Bloc in Berlin, like a protest bloc at the moment. And we'll talk a bit more about that in a second. Would you all like some alcohol?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, please.
Do you know what MegaCans we're having today?
Well, I've just seen them.
You have seen them. You looked.
I did have a little glance.
What are we having, Conrad, and why do you think we're having these?
Are we having caipirinhas?
Yes.
And is it because it's the Carnaval der Kulturen this weekend?
Yes. And every time I've ever gone to Carnaval der Kulturen, I've had a caipi.
Oh, yeah, that's the
maybe a mojito
drink
as well, that you queue for ages.
Yeah, in a plastic cup.
In a plastic cup. And then a lot of, like, sugar at the bottom. Like, that is the taste of street parties in the early 2010s.
Could get a wrapper with it or some kind of taco. They have a lot of
I don't remember
food.
Ever eating. It's just all caipis. Okay, hang on. Can you pass that one to...
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. This is probably going to be disgusting. I apologise in advance, but who cares?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Sláinte.
Sláinte, indeed. Oh, yeah. I shouldn't have smelled it. Don't smell it.
Oh, yeah. It smells like...
Oh my.
Gosh. That's like... First drink is like, petrol, what's in this? Oh, God. Oh, it's got that P2 thing in it with a shrimp. Is that a kind of booze?
So,
yeah, it is. Brazilian spirit aus Zuckerrohr. Mm. What's that? Sugarcane?
Sugarcane, yeah.
Right, let's take my second sip. Okay, that's better. I think I know. Nessa?
I'm into it.
Nessa, how are your thoughts? Before we talk on more problematic matters, first of all, MegaCans, your experience with them?
Now, actually, this is, I think, technically my first MegaCan in Berlin. Except for, like, listening to your podcast. This is a very big moment for me to be having my first MegaCan.
How have I known you for this long and this is a failure?
I don't know, Megan.
Were you not on the protest where I bought loads of Megas?
If I was, they didn't get me.
I remember Sonia having one in her, like, dungaree dress pouch. Okay, that's fine. Well, this is a very exciting day.
It is.
Will you be going to the Carnival der Kulturen? I was driving, cycling here, and I was like, is it problematic? It's a weird, weird thing. Mm-hmm. Carnival of Cultures in Berlin.
I went last year, like, to mosey on up and have a look, and because I'd never been before, and it's just jammers. Like, it's packed with people, took a long time to get a drink, spent a long time in a line.
There's a lot of local rap acts.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sounds class.
Yeah.
I think it's nice. And there's a parade with all the different children parading and fancy dress and everything.
Yeah. I think it's
on Sunday.
Probably going to make a mess of everything. But you know what? In my list of things that are deeply problematic, it's not even top 25 in Berlin at the moment. So fine. Everyone have a nice time. Your Spatey lads, who I love, are gearing up.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, they've taken out the central kind of aisle thing, which is snacks and stuff, and it's just crates of beer stacked up over my head, and there were, like, people in there having a strategy meeting. This amazing Spatey on the corner, I love it. Anyway, they're going to have a big time, because you're right in the thick of it.
Oh, yeah, around here, yeah. Once I was buying fruit at my greengrocer over the road during the Carnaval der Kulturen, and there was like a new girl there who didn't know me, and she started like charging me, and she said a price. And then the main woman saw me and she went, oh, no, not him. And I got the normal price.
Oh, wow. Again, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Because I was a regular, but she was like, okay, no, he gets the normal price. So, you know.
So they really, yeah. I mean, I was quite surprised that these mega cans were normal price, to be honest. And the woman on the till did ask the guy. So yeah. Either they know me as someone they see in there on a Friday evening exclusively buying mega cans. Maybe they're worried about me. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Oh, God. We're going to have to talk politics. Mm-hmm. So, Nesta, what is the Irish bloc and why does it exist in Berlin now? What is it? What happened?
It's a solidarity group. Solidarity with Palestine, and so that's the what it is. A group of like-minded people who have solidarity with Palestine, who go to demos together, who make little actions together, have a place for discussion. And it began early this year, so like in October, for example, I was honestly speaking in whispers in bars about Palestine with friends, or began to learn that it was quite a taboo subject here in Germany, which I wasn't, in my naivety, was not conscious of.
Yeah, same here to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so started going to demos with people, and then, what could I say, in a like Keats far away, other people from Ireland were having similar experiences, and kind of want to skip a few. By February, and that I know of, we had started to gather sounds a bit more serious than it was. Like, we painted a banner together, and then I think our first demo together was in early March. Mm-hmm. And then since then we've been meeting and up for demos together, and offering solidarity and support in any way we can.
Yeah, and if I'm right, part of the idea is also that I think in Berlin particularly, like, our right to protest is like a really ingrained, people visiting the city, I think, would all, you know, there's a lot of protests happening, more than your average seat, I would say. If you've ever gone on to like the government website, which like shows all the protests that are registered on any given weekend, it's wild. But there has been a huge repression of any form of, first of all, outright ban on pro-Palestinian or like solidarity with Palestine protests at the beginning of this part of the conflict.
Well, always really heavily policed.
And then, yeah, now seriously heavily policed, and also quite kind of violently, might be a word that people would dispute, but to be very diplomatic, forcefully, or I don't know.
Yeah, there was the protest camp outside the Kanzleramt, which was very violently cleared by the police.
Yeah, were
it?
You that you were there when that camp was?
Yes.
Okay. What was that like? And what? Sorry, I should be asking you, like, what has your experience been then of going to protest, wanting to show solidarity mm-hmm. with Palestinian people, and like what's happening now?
I mean, going to these demos, like, these aren't the first demos I've ever gone to, so I've been to many demos before in a lot of different cities. And these demos are the first time that I've really witnessed such extreme violence mm-hmm. from the police, and such a high level of surveillance as yeah. well. They're filming people in the demos. It feels like they're strategizing around us. And it's like that throughout the demos. They're also doing, like, we also get stopped a lot at the demos for long periods of time. So people are standing around waiting, sometimes in like the very hot sun. And these demos are, yeah, nothing I've seen before or experienced before.
Even in comparison with other ones in Berlin, like, I know that it's, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, even with the other ones in Berlin, yeah, for sure.
And I think also part of the reason that Irish people have come together is that the level of surveillance or violence that Irish people might experience at these might be slightly different to what people of colour or, mm-hmm. yeah, is that kind of...
Yeah, that's definitely one of the uses of us as the Irish bloc, for sure, is to get and like kind of use our we're predominantly white groups, so to use ourselves as a bit of an obstruction or an obstacle or a layer of protection between the police and especially people who are speaking Arabic as well. Especially, it seems to be a real issue for the police. Something that we've seen again and again. Demos.
Shocking. People from Palestine, my friend. From the Middle East.
But you were at the Chancellery in that camp. So how did it escalate?
So I arrived, I saw that it was being cleared. I saw through Instagram, the camp put out like a call out that they had been given a notice. And for anyone who was available to come down, especially press. And by the time I got there, I came by Hauptbahnhof and I couldn't enter the park over the bridges there. So the police had already closed off routes into the park by the time I got there. So I kind of found a way around through the park. And when I arrived, it was like I was going to the demo that was set up just across the street from the camp. And it was like a kind of mosh pit is all I can describe it as of the police, of the cops in the demonstrating crowd. So when I arrived, it was already in full swing of quite violent actions from the police, I would say. One of the first things that I saw or first experience I had was somebody just kind of like coming out of the group, a demonstrator, a protester, and just like falling on the ground with their hands on their ears, and they had been hurt. And like immediately, like three or four of us just put our hands like on their back and just were quiet with them for a minute. But it was just within seconds, so overwhelming what was happening, what I was watching happen. Not what I was watching from the demonstrators, what I was watching from the Berlin police. Mm. It was really shocking.
Yeah.
And how many people were there?
Like, how big was the camp? Like, this is not, like, from what I understood, like a huge, they're not having to clear out.
I don't know how many people exactly or how many tents were there, but anytime I visited the camp a few times when it was set up, and anytime I was there, it was like so peaceful. There were like conversation circles, like education workshops.
Yeah, there was like a little schedule, a bit like what you were saying with the people protesting in the forest around the Tesla building, which is another fucking thing. They lost that as well anyway, today or yesterday. But very well organized, these camps, and like schedules and daily routines.
Yeah, I'm really open to people coming along and engaging and having conversations. I think there was like music, and then there was like chanting, but it always felt very, for when I was there, it felt safe within it, but then you'd kind of like look around and then you'd see that actually there were police all around you with cameras filming you. So when your gaze was within the camp, it felt okay, but then there's this tension there as well because you're being watched the whole time.
And was there any communication with the police? Was there, like, do they talk? What happens?
So the Irish Bloc had an event at the camp and there was a lot of communication with the police then. 5 hours of communication.
They have like a liaison officer or something, or how does it work?
I don't know the details of that part of it. But anytime I was like passing through or in the area, I would always see the police, like the vans, the cops were always there.
Right.
And I think at night especially, they were particularly present.
And how do they decide when to do the clearance? Is there like a time limit or what happens?
My understanding was that the camp had permission to be there and that they were issued with a notice to leave based on violations of the agreement, which I believe were things like you're damaging the grass and you've got unregistered items, which is refers, I suppose, to this sofa, comrade sofa, that was at the camp.
Sorry, a sofa. They've gone too far. I mean,
well, you're not allowed to have a sofa.
You can protest.
No, very dangerous.
Protest genocide all you want.
But comfort.
If you have a sofa. Jeepers. Okay. Yeah, I think that was the sort of thing they were, but it seemed to be like there was always this like back and forth with the police asking them to do this, do that, do the other.
It creates this like a culture where it's almost impossible. So you say you're allowed to do something, but then
so that they can't then be accused of denying people their right to protest, but they make it so uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I want to talk about like the university stuff in a second as well, but
Well, we can talk about, because you mentioned the this event that you organised at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what happened there in late April. That is really interesting. So this was, according to the Irish Independent, about 40 activists were attending a conversation circle, which has got a different name in Irish. Well, I'm not
You're
going to
upset,
try and,
I can't.
I'm not going to try and pronounce. So what happened there?
Okay, I'm just going to say what it is in Irish and get it out of the way. And then All my Irish-speaking friends in the group can, like, I don't know, can correct me later. Kiorko Kora. A conversation circle. So we had heard in, I think it was early April, that at the site of the camp that people were praying in Arabic and that they had been arrested is what we had heard. And so we thought, obviously, this can't be true. How can this happen? And then we thought, well, we have Irish language. What would they do if we turned up and spoke in Irish? What would the response of the police be to that? So we decided to have this conversation circle, which just means on a Friday evening, we had planned to go to the camp, speak in Irish together, sing some songs in Irish. I think there was kind of a general speech that was also in the Irish language. And by the time most of us had arrived at the camp, we were already being told that this was not allowed to be happen. And that we were being told that by the police.
Okay.
Yes.
Was this
on what grounds?
I think that we didn't have an official language interpreter was one. Okay. And so the implication was that they wouldn't know what we were saying.
Okay.
And therefore we could be inciting hate speech, violence in what we were discussing.
And I think that is presumably then, so they then banned, am I correct, all languages other than...
Correct, yeah. So that was what we were told, was that only English and German language were allowed on the site of the camp.
Okay.
That these were the official languages of the camp. I think in smaller groups it would be okay. So we took that as, if we divide ourselves up into small groups, sit on picnic blankets and do what we had planned to do. This was not a demonstration, it was a conversation circle, so to be clear. Like, it was clearly in solidarity with Palestine and with the camp.
So you weren't doing speeches on megaphones?
No, there were no megaphones. There were the Irish flag, and there were some banners that we have that say in Irish, Saoirse Dún Phalastine, which just means like free Palestine, basically. And we weren't allowed to have these visible. We had to remove these as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, what all of this is highlighting, obviously, is that Germany's response, and I think we are sort of seeing something similar in the States as well, like to in a maybe different flavor. There is a way that this has been responded to here, which is very, very different to obviously Ireland,
mm-hmm.
but also like I think perhaps the UK and stuff as well. Like I know the UK government have been great, but like my friend was in London recently and there was a huge solidarity march and he was like, yeah, it's just like normal police, like not a very huge police presence. Like this is just a normal, you know, a quite normalized thing to happen. And another thing that's been happening in addition to them banning, but hang on, with the Irish ban, did the embassy then get involved, or what happened there?
This is interesting, it became like an international incident.
It did, yes.
You caused an international incident. Congratulations.
Well done, Irish bloc. So we, because it was a 5-hour event, it ended up being like we were with the police for 5 hours. They followed us, they intimidated us, they tried
when you
to
say
issue,
followed you.
Oh, they literally
when you
followed
left,
us.
You did what they said, you left the camp, you disbanded. Mm-hmm. And they followed you.
Yeah, they followed us to the HKV, the art center beside the camp.
Uh-huh.
And followed us inside of the center, followed us around the center. We eventually made our way to a restaurant that's part of it that has this glass front, and stationed themselves outside of this restaurant while we had pints inside. regrouped.
I love the idea of them just like following all these Irish people and just be like, oh, are they going, they're going for pints. Yeah, that's usually the case. And again, this is like an interesting thing to have done, like with Irish, because it's a non, in this instance, it's like a neutral, not a neutral language, you know what I mean? It's like not Arabic, it's like this random, almost random kind of thing. And to kind of just reveal like the intense over-policing that seems to be happening of these things for very little.
Mm-hmm. Very little action. I mean, we were sitting on picnic blankets. Somebody was singing the Foggy Dew in the background. There was somebody wandering around with the Baron, playing it beautifully. It was, but while that was happening, each picnic blanket, each one of our groups that we had been broken up to was surrounded by police.
What?
So like we were like sitting on these mats in groups of, you know, five or six, and then standing around us was a team of cops just telling us what each of those teams were telling us. So we all had kind of inconsistent information being shared with us. Nobody could tell us how many is a small group. We later learned it was two people.
That's not a group, that's a pair.
How far exactly we needed to sit apart from each other, because we weren't allowed to sit near each other. So they kept saying we need to be further away from each other. So we would move further away, and then that wasn't far enough. We couldn't, some of us were being told we could meet in another location that wasn't in the park. Some of them said we couldn't meet at all. Some of us were told that an Verkaltungs Act had been issued to prohibit this meeting. And when we asked to see this act, we were told that we would have to go with the police to the vans, give them our ID, and then later we could file a complaint for not having been issued it.
So did you ever get the impression they were making up these rules as they went along?
Funny you should say. I have my suspicions that that's exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting with the language thing, because then police had to then confirm that no language other than English and German is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And then so some people from the Junge Welt newspaper asked, well, what about Hebrew, for example? And then the Berlin police said, yeah, you can't speak Hebrew, pro-Israeli or even any kind of protest. So then they were like, so now we're in a situation where speaking Hebrew on the streets of Berlin is also banned. So it's actually really interesting what you've caused here, the Irish bloc, because you've made, I don't know, the whole hypocrisy of the situation quite clear. By doing this, sort of exposing it, yeah.
What did the embassy have to say?
Oh, yeah.
They were probably like,
we're just
here to sell butter.
Totally.
And talk to people who've lost their passports. What was their response?
Well, it's interesting because actually, like, promoting Irish culture is part of the, you know, the one of the things that the embassy, any embassy wants to do, I think, in another country and in any other context. A group of Irish people meeting up and singing in Irish would probably be applauded.
And it's also 2024 is the year of the Zeitgeist, which is this program of like Irish culture being promoted heavily in Germany. And now they fucking banned Irish in public spaces.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult, particularly in an Irish context, to separate art and music from politics. And like, we were at that cultural event and it is going to involve politics, and Palestine is probably going to be a topic. Mm. So like, what are they going to say? Like, no one at any of these events can...
Yeah. Well, this is like part of the point is that as soon as Palestine and solidarity is mentioned, this is when it gets shut down. And that's kind of what, personally, I'm hopeful is that it's not so much about the Irish language. Like it was an act of this to highlight this hypocrisy that's existing within Germany at the moment, and this really twisted logic that just goes in circles. It doesn't, you think you have a hold on it and then you're back at the beginning of the circle again.
And it's because it's not, this weird twisty logic loops happens when, and it happens when you speak to people that you know maybe from Germany who in all other political aspects are kind of like, you agree with them, and it's this kind of weird jumping through hoops where you have to not talk about any context here. Like, it's a very odd thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, did the Irish embassy did you get a prize? A medal? What do they award you in Ireland?
So we informed the embassy of what happened, and they met with some of the group, and I was not at the meeting, so I can't talk about the meeting, but they were, I think, supportive to a point. I'm not sure.
Like, we're not going to go and really do anything, but we're not going to...
Yeah. I think the, like, to be kept informed of things that happen to Irish citizens is part of the role of the embassy. And so in that context, we can be in communication with them, I would assume.
I think I saw the response and I think I was like, that's probably better than I thought from...
Yeah,
the embassy, which
I think it like in like we saw the media outside of Germany, that was really impressive that they jumped onto this story. And note as well, I've said now the media outside of Germany.
there were
interviews with media inside of Germany, but they didn't make it to print.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. That's fucking... Well, I just find there's either it's interesting what's happening in the media in Germany now, because a lot of journalists, I think, are sort of refusing to do the kind of journalism that was happening, you know, just after 7th of October, because they're like, well, and so there's kind of this silence, this hole.
Yeah.
Like, the camp wasn't really reported on. None of this got about the Irish language ban got into.
Yeah. And when things are reported, like, it's, as a person who is not from Germany, didn't grow up here, like, I find it completely shocking to read the German media. It's incredibly shocking to me how violent the language is about showing solidarity with Palestinian people.
Yeah, and on this, one of the other big sites of protest, other than the camp that's been at the Bundestag, has been at the universities, like, all over the world. And in Ireland, Trinity University, not always known for its perhaps radical politics, but I was quite proud of my alma mater, because they've been like, right, well, we've committed to.
Well, I think universities across Europe have been protesting, because I was in.
Trinity University was the first one in Ireland to to the students, yep, we're going to divest from Israel, I guess, yeah. Or like whatever their sort of those connections are. They didn't call the police on their protesters. Mm-hmm. They were like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk to them. And other universities have now kind of followed suit. Whereas in Germany, what's been happening, Conrad?
So there was a protest, I believe, late last week at the Freie Universität.
Which has had a lot of incidents around this. And I have to say, for the sake of some really quite like incidents in the past, I'm not sure how recently, but like that would definitely be characterized as anti-Semitic in any context. Like, but now,
yeah, and so they and what happened was it was on university grounds, and then the university itself called the police to clear the protest.
From what I understand, before they even talked to their students.
Yes,
And then following that, there was an open letter written by about 150 academics at the university condemning the university.
And other universities, from what I understand, not just the FU. I think it was as well.
But, there's several, over 100 academics signed an open letter condemning this action, and that open letter was then condemned by the university again. But...
And so when they say they called the police, there was pepper spray used, there were people having to shelter, like, cower in, like, this in is not ways. Just, oh, lads, can you maybe move it along? Come on, let's go talk. Your dean is waiting for you. You know, we've organized whatever. And this, like, you weren't at the FU.
No, I wasn't. Some of the people in the Irish bloc were there, and so I've heard.
Are these the outside agitators were going to be labeled that? I was like, who was a student?
Sorry, God.
No.
No, like, they were there.
Oh, God, is this video? It's horrible. Turn it off. Make it go away, Conrad.
Yeah, and then the Bild newspaper wrote an article called the Universitäter, so the university perpetrators, it's like a pun, and they sort of accused these 150 academics of being anti-Semitic, essentially, and for writing this open letter. And the Free University, which, although it had distanced itself from the 150 academics, it did release a statement today saying that it thought that this article was a violation of journalistic principles. And
again, it's this truth. Weird circle. So, like, if you think that was okay to say, then why are you calling the cops on these kids? Just go and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't meet their demands, like you can at Trinity College in fucking Dublin because of Germany and the fucking whatever, then at least talk to them. And
the police use of force and violence in those contexts as well. It's like using like pepper spray, I think, sounds like something that I just like have a little bottle of and I have it in my purse, and it's not something like getting a spritz of like body spray or something, you know. It's a painful experience. It's really violent.
Well, it's a step down from tear gas, you know, like, that's the same. And there's like two things here as well, because I'm sure people are like, oh, well, you know, like not every protest is, first of all, like the fucking farmer protests and what they did and shutting down roads so people couldn't, like key workers, nurses, doctors can't get to work, ambulance can't get through. They're just like causing massive disruption. They get, as I didn't see any pictures of them being violently
pepper sprayed,
hauled into the back of vans. And also, like, Christian Lindner went out to talk to them about their concerns. There's all of this stuff. There's like political concessions that are made. So there's that thing. So like, if all protest has to be that is disruptive to, I don't know, whatever, like explain, to make that make sense. And the other thing that I think is like particularly worrying with this is we now have a situation in Germany where, and like speaking from like an educational point of view, because quite a lot of this is happening at like sites of like universities, there's been a whole lot of weird shit, which I've kind of talked about, like this happening at schools. Teachers or educators who write letters like this are then harangued in the press. And I know from kind of anecdotal evidence and talking to people that are quite well connected on schools, teachers are now afraid to speak up for what they actually believe in because they worry about their jobs. And this is in the context of an issue which are like the International Court of Justice is saying there's plausible, very, very plausible evidence. And they said this months ago that you are right to be concerned and you are right to speak up on this issue. And in Germany, we can't. And that is very worrying to me because that means we no longer have an independent education system. And when we look at what is happening with politics in the right and the shift to the right, that terrifies me.
Yeah.
Is everyone drinking enough? How far are we to our mega cans?
I'm about, oh, I've got about a third left.
Oh, God, we must have been talking too much. Get drinking.
You mentioned earlier about the protests in other cities and in the universities and how, like, they're not as heavily policed or they're kind of like regular level protests or with a bit of police intervention, but it, that it's getting more violent in other places and as we were seeing in Germany. And I think it's part of this like in Germany anyway, from my perspective as somebody who's moved here and had to do quite a lot of learning in the last few months about why it this is the response, and I have this, you know, theory then that it's just shifting a lot of focus away from what the protests are then about. This, I think, is an issue, is for me anyway, is real, real problem to move forward in. I think that it's, we're doing quite a lot of dancing around Germany, like around the German government and their decisions, are dancing around the police response. And if those things weren't there, if this level of fear about going to demonstrations didn't exist, like this probably would have run pretty smoothly. If people weren't being so violently intimidated and physically assaulted.
It's, and exactly like you said, it stops us talking. I mean, we can talk about it because we're like a German politics podcast rather than a Middle East politics. Thank goodness. But yeah, it does distract from the very real questions which need to be asked about Germany's complicity. Oh, I must have had enough of my making. Complicity.
That's a word, yeah.
Is it complicity?
It definitely a word. I'm
class.
Pretty sure.
All right, that's good. Yeah, and what actually needs to be happening and what needed to have happened months and years and decades.
So what's happening in the future with the Irish bloc Berlin?
Well, we'll be going to demo this Saturday as we often are. Also the Irish bloc, it's not just for Irish people.
No.
Yes, a lot of people have been kind of feeling like, I'm like, you're fine.
Yeah. Basically, anybody who feels a bit isolated in their thoughts at the moment or have found themselves in a situation where they're established friend groups in Berlin or in Germany or not, who you're not meeting in this same viewpoint that you would have in basically every other issue, maybe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You have no one to go to demos with. You're very welcome to join us. We usually have an Irish flag and we just say, meet us at the Irish flag and just come on over and say hi. And it's that easy.
The demo this Saturday?
It's at Oranienplatz at 2:00. It's meeting at.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And do you have liaisons with other protest groups and talks? And who are you sort of in solidarity with in Berlin?
That's one of the really great things about going to demos is you meet so many people and you make connections with new people. And then you can start to make actions together or even just chat together, socialize together and to really work together and see how you can step in and help out in some way. So that's one of the really wonderful parts of going to demos. And it's really I've said all the stuff about the violence of the police and things like that.
You're going to get kettled.
You're going to get kettled before you know it. But on the other side of that, it feels really good to go. Mm-hmm. And to meet with other people and to march together, stand together. And the fact that people have been out demoing for months, this was in this kind of level of intensity. Obviously, people were making demonstrations for years before this, but throughout winter, dead of night, darkness, 4:00, people were out on the streets and doing this every week, every day in some cases. And that is so meaningful, and they're really, I think, to be applauded for that, the people who are doing this, who are leading this, the organizers and speakers at these events. So anyone who wants to join us, we're on Irish Block on Instagram. We always post there.
Okay. On socials.
I also have a demo to mention, to promote. On the 1st of June, there is, which will be International Children's Day, there will be an international reading of the 14,500
fucking hell
children's names that have been killed so far. It will also include the names of children that were killed on October 7th. And it will be somewhere in central Berlin. You can go to the... I'll leave a link to the... you can actually sign up to be one of the readers. They'll need a couple of hundred readers, I expect. So you can sign up to be one of the readers. I'll leave a link, and you can also email starttalkingaboutgaza@gmail.com to contribute, donate, book a slot. That's on June the 1st in central Berlin. The exact location is yet to be announced. Anything else you want to talk about this week?
Everything. Maybe. How is everyone's Megacan? What would you rate the P2 Premium Caipirinha? And actually, if anyone is in the market, I saw in my local Edeka today, probably coming up because of Carnival der Kulturen, a six-pack of limes, just normal limes, which were wrapped up in plastic, obviously, with a muddler, and it said P2 limes. But it didn't have booze or anything. It was just for your limes, official...
Oh, the official P2 limes. They only use one brand of limes for the Caipirinhas.
Yeah.
And I got to say, this is not my favourite mega can.
I'm quite enjoying it.
I've really underestimated the amount of alcohol in the mega can. Just realised.
That's a common mistake.
Well, that's a lot of people. It has to be 10% to qualify as a mega can. That's the thing. That is one. We've shit in Germany a lot, but this episode and every other single episode that we've ever done. But 10% mega cans are...
I can't wait for the carnival.
Have you finished it? You have to finish it.
I will finish
it. This is the whole point. You have to sit in Kreuzberg at this weekend slugging down a kaipi that you don't want to drink.
And eating street food from all around the world.
No food, just grim kaipis. Come on.
Okay.
Nessa, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a delight. To have you here, not maybe content wise. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
That was great. Thank you very much.
Have a good time, everybody. Stay safe out there.
Enjoy the Pfingsten Wochenende.
Oh, yeah.
Long weekend.
Which one's Pfingsten? Not Ascension. Pentecost.
Pentecost, yeah.
Congratulations. Whatever happened then.
Something with Jesus.
Something with Jesus. It's always Jesus.
Bye.
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 Megan.
of fear.
Yeah.
It's actually it's quite a positive message to give to people.
So.
I like to think that we have quite a positive impact on our listeners.
I hope so.
Because we try and get them to defy the fear of listening to the news all day.
I mean, it's better than reading a German newspaper.
I would definitely recommend listening to our podcast more than reading any German newspaper.
German newspapers barely have pictures. It's just a brick of text.
Oh yes. And they seem to make a virtue of it. They think it's like so great to have no text.
Not like you Americans with your fucking
colour pictures.
Decadent pictures in your newspapers.
Yeah,
What's that? Crossword puzzle. You had Trump. Jesus Christ, everyone. Like, there's a middle ground.
You have to concentrate on the news. It's very important. You have to, like, keep it there.
Just have a mega.
Give us a picture every now and then.
Just a wee picture, maybe a, you know.
Yeah.
A diagram.